don't be afraid to test and don't get scared too quickly. I think there are a lot of things to do to improve results, and you should keep testing and iterating without hesitation.
Welcome to Mobile Growth in Pancakes, a podcast by Stormhaven. We break down how and why mobile apps grow. In each episode, we invite a mobile growth expert onto the show to break down a specific mobile growth strategy, how it worked, why it worked, and what they would do differently. I'm your host, Esther Schatz.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Mobile Growth and Pancakes. I'm your host, Jonathan Fishman. I'm VP Marketing here at Stormhaven. And I'm really excited to be here today with Maka, a user acquisition manager at Papumba. Hey, Maka.
Hey, Jonathan.
What's up? Do you want to introduce yourself a bit?
Yes, sure. Well, as you mentioned, I'm Macarena. You can call me Maka. I'm a user acquisition manager here in Papumba. That is a subscription app from an edtech startup that offers a lot of educational content for kids, such as games, books, and videos. I've been working in performance marketing for almost 6 years now. And previously, I worked in one of the biggest gaming companies here in Argentina. So I have been in mobile growth for quite some time. And well, thank you so much for the opportunity. I love to be here.
Awesome. Thank you for joining. So can you give us a bit more background on like the team size and specifically the app, like what kind of users you're targeting? I know it's content for kids, but is it their parents? Can you give us some more details?
Yeah, sure. So in terms of users, we have, of course, both sides. We are mainly focusing on parents, but we also have the kids size where we can reach. In terms of the team here in Papumba, for marketing, we have our growth team focusing mostly in retention and conversion. And well, me from the other side as a user acquisition, I work with the content team and there is a designer for the user acquisition and creative strategy. And well, we are still a few, but growing every month. So yeah.
Awesome. And you mostly grow through paid campaigns. What are your top channels?
Yes, we start working with paid campaigns 6 months ago. So it's a brand new strategy for us. Papumba has grown every year organically. So the product grows itself. So user acquisition is a new part of the growth. And we are also activating different growth fuels such as automation and different growth strategies. It's a brand new all the marketing team.
Awesome. That's really exciting, an exciting spot to be in. So today we want to talk a bit about that kind of phase where you're starting out with user acquisition and you're starting to actually scale the operation and focus a bit about that. So Can you walk us through when folks think about when do they know it's the right time to actually scale user acquisition? They tried it out, they experimented a bit with a few channels. When do you know when it's time to really, you know, throw in a ton of paid budgets and scale the operation?
Okay, yes. So I think the decision to start buying like new users, of course, it comes from the necessity to grow faster, but I think that everyone wants that, right? So I could say that a good moment to start thinking about UA efforts is when you know you got the basics covered, meaning that when you have the product market fit, good retention, a good funnel conversion rate, and so on. So once we saw that that the conversion and retention rates were competitive according to the industry benchmarks and according to our competitors, of course, the company here, of course, Papumba, decided that it was the right time to turn on this fuel, as I mentioned. I think it's a little bit disappointing to create a user acquisition strategy that doesn't work due to the poor user experience within the product. So as I mentioned, you have to get those basic cover. And I think that you can optimize a lot of things in performance campaign, but if the product or the user experience should be valuable enough to cover the high cost acquiring new user hubs, right? So going back to moving to the scale of user acquisition, as you mentioned, when you have a few channels and little budget and you're starting, to scale user acquisition campaigns, I think that the time comes when you find the stability, when you are seeing that performance is in a good place, that costs are stable and you're reaching your target KPIs. That is, of course, the more important part. And that's when you might need to think, where should I make the next move? So if there is enough space to continue growing in the same network, you should go for it, of course. But it will be much cheaper than opening new channels. But I think that it's also a great moment to start thinking about testing new ones, like new networks and new partners, because I think it's super important to diversify your acquisition strategy and don't rely just on one partner. So in terms of scale, I will go there. But we all know that opening a new channel has its challenge. First of all, you might need an important amount of money to make the first test. And a new network always needs installs and events in great volumes to learn and to go through the learning phase. And this is a kind of investment. So probably you won't see any good results at the beginning or even the first month. And I think another thing super important to consider is the creative, like the resources you have. In my opinion, you should never try a new network with the creatives you already have and like use it in another network. I mean, in some cases, the creatives are quite similar and in terms of concepts, and maybe there is a little just a change in the format. But for example, and I made this mistake, of course, trying, I don't know, a Facebook ad video in TikTok won't get you good results, or at least not the best results you can have. So this doesn't mean that it won't work, of course, but it won't be the ideal scenario for testing. So this part, I think there are these two things in terms of the budget and the creatives are super important. So in few words, try not to expect much of a new channel if you have low budget or few time and if you don't have the creative resources to adapt every creative to each network. I think to have a clear conclusion, if the network works, you should give, of course, time and a lot of effort to not be disappointed at first sight and to say, okay, this doesn't work, let's move to another thing, because it may not be the time or it may not be a lot of things. So in my opinion, all this is a part of the scaling the user acquisition strategy.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of gold there in what you just said. There's so many folks out there that just give up too quick. I mean, they try a new channel and either they don't have enough cash ready and budgeted for this new channel as test budget. I mean, yeah, Not expecting to see incredible ROAS on that budget, as well as really taking seriously the creative side. Because as you said, there is such a thing as a network creative fit. I mean, creatives that work in Facebook won't work on TikTok and Snapchat, and not even talking about different ad networks like ironSource and Unity and AppLovin for more of the game folks out there. So that's really important. When you started out, where did you, I mean, there's the question of where is my audience? And you have kind of a interesting situation where you can acquire the parents that are looking for education stuff for their kids, or kids, if they're above a certain age, at least.
Yeah.
How did you, what's your strategy there?
Well, here in Papumba, we started, first of all, with influencers. Like, we started the other way around, I think, mm-hmm. For so many other cases. We began to see good results here in LATAM. When we began with all the bigger strategy for UA, we decided to start in Facebook. We think that the audience, we have the great resources to target, and the audience should be there. We also decided Facebook related to the creative part, right? Because we know that we will have quickly results in terms of creative and in terms of data, because as I mentioned before, we started 6 months ago with nothing, so we have to test everything, like creatives, copies, data, how the data pulls from somewhere to other, the MMP and everything. So we decided that Facebook, in terms of audience, cost and like resources, was the best one. But we are also testing in an app network that is just for kids, meaning that the placement are in apps for kids. So we have these two parts and they behave quite differently. We are still trying to figure out how valuable is they are, and the difference in terms of acquisition. But yes, we have these both sides. And of course, as you mentioned, the audience, you need to go to the right place where your audience is, and it's like super important. And for this, you have to define the audience properly, right?
Yeah, definitely. And you're a subscription app, right? So that I guess that the main KPI for each of these campaigns is subscribers, right? Or is there, or there are also in-app purchases that aren't a subscription?
No, of course, our main KPI is actually the subscription, but we have a lot of different actions that we are measuring through the user funnel. But yes, our main KPI is the subscription, and then we work for the renewal, right?
Yeah, for sure. And we'll talk a bit more about data and how to get it and the challenges for a subscription app these days, post iOS 14.5 and everything. I'll just say that it's really interesting to test these two audiences. And I talked with a few folks in the past that had the same situation where they can acquire the kids that actually play the game, and then they say, Mom, Dad, I wanna pay to get this app, which is one thing that can be very effective if done right. And the other side is actually acquiring the parents that are looking to, ensure that their kids are doing something educational when they play their phones instead of something not so educational or not so productive. So it's really interesting. I want to talk a bit about the creative strategy and the creative testing strategy. And of course, you mentioned the team that you work with, design. And do you have somebody specifically that works on the ASO side for creative testing on the App Store?
Right now we are working all together along with the growth team to mm-hmm. We work the UA strategy in terms of creatives, and we work the ASO strategy. Like, we have all hands on it. But to talk a little bit more about the creative strategy, we need to think, of course, and we all in both teams, I mean in the whole company, we must know clearly the core value proposition. That's I think the point to start, mainly as we talked before, to understand our audience, like who are we talking to. We need to understand their interests and their way of life, their needs, and the biggest question, and as we said, where can we find them? So that's I think the main key point for our creative strategy. I think ads, it's a great place to test new and different value propositions, as I mentioned, or even the same value proposition from different angles. So I think here is where testing begins. Creatives have always been key to performance. And I think with everything we lost in terms of data, it has become even more important. And we actually, as I mentioned, work with a designer that is specialized in marketing videos for user acquisition. So he just developed all the amazing animations of the videos. And we work super close with the content team that is in charge to develop the creative concepts of the ads. As I mentioned, we have these value propositions that we work, all the team work along. And then we need to take different concepts or angles, as I mentioned, of these value propositions to test. Because as we spoke, how should I communicate to the parents to sell all this huge catalog that we offer? As I mentioned, Papumba has yoga videos for parents to do it with their kids and for kids by themselves. We have a lot of educational games. We have reading. We have audiobooks to go to sleep for bedtime routines and a lot of different value proposition that is super difficult to communicate them in 30 seconds of an ad. So yes, we work really close with the content team. And in terms of campaign structure, to be honest, I can tell you many different ways about how to create this campaign structure or how much time the ads should run or how many ads should compete at the same time. But I think that at the end of the day, this is up to every marketer and every company, because you have to take into account the budget and the creative resources you have. So I will move from there. But yes, what I can tell you is that testing is a must and it should be nonstop. It doesn't matter something I learned in the past 2 years is that it doesn't matter how nice and produced is your ad. You need to test without hesitation. For example, here in Papumba right now, we define, as I mentioned, 6 different value propositions, and we are testing these different angles, meaning we try just different messages or different ways to communicate this value proposition. And at this point, we don't care much about the colors, the elements, the characters, or the design itself. We just leave these iterations to come after when we find the best angle for each selling proposition. So that's a little bit our creative strategy that we manage. We try to do it constantly. Again, it depends a lot of the budget you have, because when you start opening different campaigns, different assets, different ads, you need budget, you need time, and you can take conclusions in 1 day or 2 days. You need at least, I think, a week to test a creative and of course to see how then the users react, right? Because you can get a lot of cheap installs and a lot of volume, but maybe you don't have any subscriptors there. So going back to the KPIs we analyze here in the creative level, I think the more important are CTRs, IPM, and CBRs. And that's the data that you can look in super, super quick and super easy. We, of course, then take a look at the install rate. That I think here is where the as you mentioned, ASO, here is where the store listing show off. As we might be all, we are already creating our custom pro pages in some way to complete our creative strategy.
That's something I want to ask about. So yeah. Can you walk us through an insight that you learned, you're testing these 6 value propositions and different ways to communicate them. By the way, I totally agree with you that the creative journey has an impact on downstream metrics. It's pretty easy to understand. I mean, if you acquire a user, let's say with messaging around the yoga videos. I like yoga. I have a daughter that likes yoga as well. She just learned yoga in kindergarten. Now, every time I just say yoga, she just do like a downward facing dog. Really cute. So let's say that's what caught me. And I'm downloading the app. Of course, that's the part that I look for. And if it's gated or behind a subscription, I'll probably, if it's really valuable to me, I would probably pay for it. But if I didn't know it existed, maybe I wouldn't do the same thing. So the creatives and the messaging there has a huge impact on downstream metrics. But you started talking about like completing the funnel, and it's pretty new because it's in the past for folks doing user acquisitions a year, 2 years ago, the App Store page was a given. You had to choose one per country. And if you had the messaging and the creatives that talked about ebooks or yoga, they would still have to go to the same landing page on the App Store. And you would lose some people there because maybe you talked about like, some exclusive yoga videos, something really amazing. They go to the App Store page and they don't see any of that. So they're confused. Where is that yoga? Am I installing the right app? Was the ad correct? And now you don't have to have that anymore because you can complete that funnel with the same messaging on the App Store side and on the ad creative side. So do you have any learning that you got from testing that you're going to implement in this funnel? Like as one holistic funnel?
Okay, yes. As I mentioned, I think this is a huge and an important part for this whole creative strategy. Right now, we are still working on all the different versions of the custom pro pages and related to each value propositions we are communicating. But I think these CPPs are a great opportunity in two ways. First of all, as you mentioned, like testing different messages become more relevant as we have now the chance to, as you said, to show in the store specifically what users saw in the ad. And to manage all the whole thing, it may be, I don't know, a feature or some limit content, or as you mentioned, the specifically the yoga videos that we offer in the app. I think on the other hand, the other important thing that is that it's a huge opportunity to gain back some attributed data. I have like my hopes are really up in with this topic, but if data is extensive enough, there is a new way to see performance results exclusively for iOS campaigns. Of course, I think there will be limitations. I need to say that, but right now every data point that we can attribute to a campaign will be super helpful. But yes, I right now I have no conclusions. On this topic, we are starting to gather all that we need to know and to create about these custom pro pages. But again, in the moment we are where we lost a lot for iOS users, this is a great resource, and I think it's a must as well as the product page optimization feature that came out in Apple is a must in every user acquisition and growth strategy. So we are taking care of it, and we are super anxious to try it. Yes.
Yeah, it's we've been working as a team here with a lot of developers on starting to adopt custom product pages. And as you said, and I'll use it as a segue to talk a bit about data, custom product pages does allow you to glean back into some data that you lost. If I take a step back, basically in the past, you used an MMP, you saw ROAS at an ad level that was deterministic attribution. Now there's a few different opinions on that, whether it was really deterministic or was it always probabilistic and it wasn't ever 100% accurate. But you got a good grasp on the performance of each campaign, ad set, and ad down to the ROAS level. Now you lost that and everything became like kind of a probabilistic game without like clear results on ROAS at an ad creative level for sure. At a campaign level, it's a bit better. You have SK Ad Network that gives you some more data, but that is really limited to just installs and very early signs of downstream activity because they do report some conversion values for the first 24 hours. But again, if somebody subscribed to your app a week after they opened the app for the first time, you would never know that through SKAd Network. Now, custom product pages actually have now in App Store Connect, they're a dimension. So you can basically see sales at a custom product page level, and it's cohorted for the first time ever, which makes me think that Apple took a lot of things away, but they're starting to give back some of that power back straight to the hands of UA people and marketers. Because if you can do cohorted revenues at a custom product page and you know which campaign went to which custom product page, you can basically get aggregated and accurate, almost 100% accurate. You know, maybe there's going to be some bugs here and there, but it's almost 100% accurate data on the return on ad spend on your campaign, which is real. So that's really exciting. And by talking with different teams, I started seeing people, even before they think about the impact of having a cohesive funnel in terms of ad creative and the creatives on the store page, just by using duplicated custom product pages and using them with different campaigns, they can get that attribution data from Apple, which is really, really exciting. So I want to ask you, how are you currently measuring, I mean, as a subscription app, the value of your campaigns, given it's kind of a very high value event that is happening, I would assume, not in the first 24 hours, or maybe it is, I'll just ask you, I would say. How are you measuring campaigns right now?
Yes, well, as I mentioned before, of course, our main KPI is actually the subscription, and then, of course, the renewals. But there are a lot of different actions that we can measure and optimize towards all along the user funnel. As you mentioned, the most valuable events, such as subscription and the renewals, are completely lost now with the SKAd Network attribution, at least for iOS, of course. These events happen way after the 24 hours post-install. So even if the user follows the regular flow of the app, those events won't happen. The subscription won't happen in the first 24 hours. So we mainly focus on all the events or actions that we can measure on the first day of the user experience, such as finishing the onboarding, sign up, starting the demo. We offer a demo day to every user that pass through the paywall. And of course, the trial, that is, I think, the most important one. So like I said, the sign up and the trial are the most valuable actions to measure for us. Sign up, I think, is critical. It's like a critical step for every app. And I mean, first party data became super important right now that we lost our capabilities to reach then these users through a marketing campaign. So we care a lot about the user sign up, and of course it's like it's a must to then go through the app. So at a campaign level, I think there are two important parts that you should consider to measure the success of the campaigns, and you can measure them differently. On one hand, all the creative side, where you look, as I mentioned before, to the CTR, the IPM, the CBR, the engagement, the ads had. Here, I think is where you can take action in the creative testing, of course. And there are a lot of ways to gather enough data from the networks, from the MMP. I think it's data that is in real time almost. So you can work a lot there, and we are focusing a lot in the creative part. And on the other hand, you have all the conversion rates, where you must analyze every step of the user journey to see mostly where the drop are. In the subscription is super clear, the funnel, of course, sometimes the users follow different funnels, but well, the funnel is super clear, and we have the conversion rates like analyzed. So although this part is pretty difficult to measure like properly in terms of attribution, I think you can still gather data from the stores and from your backend to analyze trends and evolutions. I might mention this a lot because we find our way in through data by measuring these trends and evolution. So I think the best way to analyze performance right now is to compare like apples with apples. You choose it like trends from blended or attributed data or any data you have, how it evolves and how it changes when you compare it to the changes you made in the campaigns and to all the things you are implemented from the marketing part.
Really smart. That's really, really smart. They think that that's what the smartest marketing teams are doing right now. Some call it media mix modeling. I'm not sure about this word anymore. It's kind of, I don't know, it gets thrown a lot these days and it does exist and it does require a lot of data science work to get it right. There's a more simple answer. Like instead of being stuck in this endless, journey to get the data science right and everything super accurate, you can just look at trends over time. Compare it to the dates and the times where you did some changes in your marketing campaigns and see how it affected the trends. Okay, so you won't get deterministic attribution that gives you 100% of reality, but you'll get a good understanding if what you're doing is working or not. So that's what I think. And hopefully, I think Apple will give you some more tools in the future to get to at least add another data point or another data source to the mix of the things you take into account to make decisions on the UA side with custom product pages and probably some more other things in the future.
Yeah, sure. We try to, of course, we work super close with our data team and of course also with the product team. We develop our little We develop our own cost metrics to measure performance because as you mentioned, we have a lot of time where we wanted to have everything like it was before, and we have to let go of this, all that, and
for sure.
And say, okay, we have this data from here, from there, and from there. And what can we do with this data? How should we look at this data and analyze and take action? As I mentioned before, we take these different cost metrics that we try to manage in this time. And with this picture, we compare it to the performance of the campaigns because we still have the CPMs. We have, as I mentioned before, the CTRs, the IPMs. And well, you know, in your log, your changes in the campaigns. And if you increase the budget, if you increase the bids, if you change a creative or add some more creative. So you have all this log and you can compare it to the trends that you see in your blended data. I think again the blended data and the conversion rates are the most important thing for us, at least right now. Just an example for when we started in different geos, we start seeing that the install volume increased a lot, meaning we went from organic to organic and acquisition. And well, you saw the lift there in installs. And when we turn around the signups, there was a lift in signups and there was a lift in trials. And after 1 week, we saw a week over week growth in subscriptions. So we just said, oh, is this a coincidence? Or I don't think so, because it happens when we all have all the data points. Of course, we saw that acquired users perform differently than, of course, organic users. But here we saw that the conversion rates week by week are stable, and maybe there is some drop in some different geos, but the conversion rates were stable. So we got to think, okay, we are doing something right. So again, we go back and see all the data and we say, okay, we just need to focus right now in the creatives and in increasing our CTR and our engagement in order to decrease our CPIs, to decrease our cost, to start looking at different geos where we can buy with less budget to grow quickly lately. So that's a little bit of how we are doing things right now. But yes, again, we all lost a lot. And I think we are all struggling and with a lot of headaches for this topic.
Yeah, I'm sure that there's going to be more tools and it's going to be easier in 2022 to manage this new, I would call it a data-driven decision-making process for UA. But I think that's the way to do it, what you did. Because the funny thing that I thought about while you mentioned the subscription numbers going up a few weeks after the installs went up is that the direct attribution that you would do right now, let's say SK Ad Network, would basically, if you try to optimize for conversion values, it would show you that this campaign is not generating anything because they wouldn't capture the conversion values. And then someone that is making decisions based on that data would conclude that this campaign is not working. But looking at things over time and in a more holistic way with blended figures would show you that, of course, you're doing something right and you're growing the business. So I think that's the way to do things right now. We are running a bit out of time. So I want to ask you a few last questions that we ask all of our guests. First one is that if you could give just one tip to somebody, an aspiring UA person that wants to get into the industry today with everything that's going around, what would a good tip be?
Okay, so I will say don't be afraid to test and don't get scared too quickly. I think there are a lot of things to do to improve results and you should keep testing and iterating without hesitation.
Awesome. And in terms of content recommendation, do you have any favorite mobile growth resources that you read, people that you follow that you want to share with the audience?
I follow and read a lot from Demand Curve and also from Mobile Dev Memo. Yes, I read a lot from there.
Awesome. Eric Sofert writes a lot of smart things. And lastly, but most importantly, given that we're in mobile growth and pancakes, what's your favorite flavor of pancake or a food that resembles pancake? That's for folks that don't eat pancakes.
Okay, that's easy for me. So I would say pancakes with dulce de leche here in Argentina. It can't be another way.
Yeah, my favorite flavor, dulce de leche. Amazing.
Yes.
Since I was a kid, I mean, I had an Argentinian nanny that used to give me a lot of dulce de leche. And since then, that's my favorite flavor. Yeah.
The best.
Awesome. Cool. And finally, if people want to chat with you on UA, everything we talked about, life, where can they find you?
I think the best is LinkedIn. Yes, I'm always connected there.
Cool. So we'll have the link to your LinkedIn in the description of the episode. Cool. So thank you very much. That was real fun, Maka.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. And thanks again for the opportunity to be here.
Thank you. We'll chat soon.
And that was Mobile Growth in Pancakes. To find out more about StoreMaven and how we can improve App Store performance, visit storemaven.com. And then make sure to search for Mobile Growth in Pancakes in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found, and click subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. On behalf of the team here at StoreMaven, thanks for listening.